Father, we're hungry and thirsty for you tonight. We sit calm in our spirit, totally at rest, totally saved and redeemed and healed. No question, no doubt. We're not seeking for that piece of information tonight. We're seeking you, your spirit, the manifestation of how you work things out in the lives that you gave us. Who you work through, give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding so that we don't act like we're full of a dumb spirit, but we're full of the Spirit of God. And that means we have wisdom and we understand, we see, we hear, and we react accordingly. We seek that in you and no other source. Reveal yourself tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, once again, we studied basically 2 weeks ago, holy. Now we're talking about spirit. It's hard to separate them, but the dictionary does, so we will for the time being. We saw the manifestations of the holiness of God in us and through us in other situations. And tonight we're going to try to search for the, again, long list, and I haven't gone through them all, of the manifestations of the Spirit of God and some other spirits. One of the things we need to understand are other spirits. Y'all remember that, right?
Yeah.
All right, anytime we're talking about spirit, we're talking about a current of air or a breath or breathe. And hopefully if we will understand that the breath of God is the Spirit of God. That includes words. That includes movements that we can't explain. Situations that we can't explain. I hope we understand that. Sometimes we're moved without anything moving. We don't hear anything. We just kind of feel. It's kind of like there's something pushing us in a direction. Yeah. Sometimes we hear a word. Now, the job that we really need to concentrate on is to know that there are other spirits out there that mimic the Spirit of God. Push us, shove us, give us words. And as we've already heard and as we need to be reminded of, that there are always spirits around God, around Jesus when he walked this earth. And he had to determine whether it was the Spirit of God or whether it was the spirit of a man in whatever name it came. Not the name of man, but the name that was being manifested. All right. Mark 9:17. Let's read this kind of in its entirety. So we'll look at a story more than just a verse tonight. Mark 9, and let's start at 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, scribes disputing with them. Immediately when he saw them, or they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit." Did you get that?
Yeah.
So where did the muteness come from?
The spirit.
I thought it was lack of a voice box. It was a spirit. So now, not everything is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
We covered a little bit of that last night. Let's go over it again. And I want to hone in on the one thing. When you read the New Testament, you find out that most maladies are spirit. The cool part about that is, and here's what we, as church, the church of the world, nobody wants to say this because it puts too much responsibility on people that have a malady. And yet, guilt is not part of responsibility.
Right.
Guilt is never part of responsibility.
Right.
And yet, people take it as guilt. If my wife walked over here and said, "You have a piece of cheese on your face," I have a responsibility to get it off, or she does, but I'm not supposed to be condemned by it.
Right.
Yes, it's the working of another spirit, definitely. And if we walk in it, then we're walking in that spirit. Let me get back over here. The teacher, "I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. So this spirit has a manifestation, definitely. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Sounds a lot like what we now call epileptic seizure, which Jesus called a spirit. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. What does the spirit of the devil do to people?
Kill,
steal, and destroy. See, we will not admit that every malady is an attempt to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right.
Every wrong thing that happens to us is an attempt of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy.
Right. Amen.
But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, what happened in that sentence? Who did? Well, if Jesus always spoke the mind of the Father said, you have to believe. It's up to you. Now, here's another thing that we never tell the church community, is that your faith is going to depend, or is going to cause things to happen. You can't depend on somebody else's faith. In this last 15, 20 years, the charismatic church has tried to teach that all you have to do is find somebody to lay hands on you and you'll recover. That's not what the Spirit of God says through Jesus. The faith, it's up to your faith. Now, I would tell you that's what the Spirit of God is trying to tell us. And I've taught you this for years. We're looking more for an agreement than a prayer. Right?
Right.
God says, sure, I can heal. Jesus says, sure, I can lay hands on you, I can pray. But what we need is your faith to make it happen. Now, every man is given a measure of faith. By who? And that faith is cultivated and nurtured by the Spirit of God. And actually, you're coaxed and pushed to believe. How does that happen? When another spirit comes to kill, steal, and destroy, it is a suggestion for you to believe. Not the spirit of death and destruction, but the Spirit of God. How else could the scripture that says God will turn everything that was meant for bad, he'll turn it to good? So he's not afraid of temptation. He's not afraid of sickness, disease, maladies, discomforts. He's trying to teach us by the Spirit that these are motivational moves to cause you to believe. If I'm going to read the Bible correctly, yes. Now see what we did? We just made him feel bad. That's why we don't do that. And yet, that's the truth. Now, Richard, the one thing that the church refuses to teach is that faith without works is dead. They'll quote it, but they won't teach it. How do you work faith? By sticking with what you say. That's what you're really saying. No matter how you feel, no matter what somebody else says, no matter what you get afraid of or tempted by or tempted to do, you stick by your decision to believe. That's what faith is. Now, I don't even like the definition of the Bible. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for.
Faith is the substance
of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Because that doesn't explain anything to us. We need to learn to say to people, faith is you working as hard as you can to believe. No matter how you feel, no matter what you see, you stick by your guns. What are your guns? The Word of God. Your guns are the Word of God. The Spirit of God brings to your remembrance, that's what we've already read, right? Brings to your remembrance, coaxes you, reminds you, writes them on your heart so they'll come out of your mouth, and all you have to do is make a room for it. So that what comes out of your mouth is what you believe. Karen's brother always says, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. That's his belief system. So what's going to happen to him? Bad luck. If there's any such word as luck. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, and help my unbelief. Now, what we see here is there's nothing wrong with crying out to the Lord to help your unbelief. You admit, I want to believe, and yet I'm having a hard time, so help me. How does the Holy Spirit help you in unbelief? Brings to your remembrance the Word of God. kicks you a little bit once in a while. I said, what are you talking about? That's not what I taught you to say. Pushes you and says, that's not what your father says. Pushes you and says, that's not what Jesus paid for. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit. Now, the parent called it a dumb spirit. Jesus referred to it as an unclean spirit. We ought to just call it a dumb, stinking, unclean spirit. We ought to title these things according to their actions. This is what he said. Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. He covered his teaching. When you drive one away, bring seven friends back. So he not only cast them out, he put a no trespassing sign. Amen. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, what did that Jesus say about himself? I've been praying and fasting. You haven't. Now, God the Father set this whole thing up. Set the whole thing up, right? He even had coaxed Jesus to pray and fast before the battle, probably not telling him what he was going to run into. The problem with the teaching of prayer and fasting now is we always taught to pray and fast for a particular thing. What if the Spirit of God wants us to pray and fast just to prepare us for something that's coming? Just a question. Nothing wrong with either one. It's all different kinds of fasting. All different kinds. Sleep deprivation. Conversation deprivation. Shut your mouth, in other words, and listen. Meditation is a type of fasting. Because what you're doing is you're excluding certain thought processes and trading it for a specific thought process. I would venture to say to you that feeding on the Word of God, in other words, speaking the Word, to believe is a type of fasting. Because you're limiting words like normally come out and you're replacing them with other words. Fasting from food is a great fast, but let me tell you something, and I don't care who teaches you different. Eating is something that God put in you, and your body tells you when to eat. And if you don't have a successful fast, it's probably because the Spirit of God didn't tell you to do that. Anytime I've been put on a fast, I had no trouble. But if I put me on a fast, that's the hardest thing in the world to do. And usually I end up thinking more about food than God. And that's not a good fast.
That's right.
And I can promise you this. If somebody tells you they went on a 40-day fast, well, if somebody tells you to go on a 40-day fast, you need to pray a bit and make your mind up if this is God or not. Because God didn't build you to operate 40 days without food. Didn't do it. You know, the bottom line is God gave us a brain to think with. And if it makes sense, that was God. Now, if it goes against your senses, that also may be God.
Amen.
But we need to. God is not impatient. He doesn't bark one order and expect you to do it or fall down dead. That's another thing we got to learn. He's patient. He knows we're a little slow on the uptake, and he operates under those conditions. Doesn't get mad. All right, turn over to Luke with me. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. One of the interesting things, if you remember in the Bible, where Mary walked up to her sister and said, I'm pregnant of God, and what happened? In the sister's womb leapt. Is that what it said, leapt? The interesting part to me about that is that the Holy Spirit didn't cause her sister to make the baby jump. You can't make a baby jump. Well, you can, I guess. You can punch it, but that's not what happened. Yeah. One of the two. Whether I'm right or wrong, the baby's jumping. Let's stick to the point here. I'm wrong about a lot of things, but not about that. The Holy Spirit was excited. The Spirit of God was excited about the baby in Mary. So excited that when the news was announced, it made Mary so excited that it excited the baby. Another manifestation of a work of God through the Spirit of God. That you get excited and you're going to affect somebody else. If you're operating in faith, that's a directive of God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Man, I wish everybody would remember that. You cannot please God. You can give $1 million every time we come together. You can witness 10,000 times on the street every day, and you will not please God if you're not operating in faith.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. It takes an awful lot of faith just because you're pregnant to tell somebody, I'm pregnant by God.
Yeah.
That takes an awful lot of faith. Because you know they're not going to believe you. And yet by the Spirit, Elizabeth believed.
Yeah.
All right, let me go back to what I said. 4:14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And they went out a fame of him through all of the region round about. He was going in the power of the Spirit. How do you go in the power of the Spirit? Well, first you have to go in the Spirit. Right? The power of God goes with the will of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Therefore, we can say we go in the power of the Spirit. In 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Richard, I skipped over you a while ago, but the Spirit of God in ministry will tell you you need to see, even if the man doesn't. You understand that? We've had that happen several times with people changing and giving up things. And, you know, we sat here one night in a Wednesday, I think it was a Wednesday night service, and Richard comes up here and lays a pipe and a lighter up here. I never said anything about a pipe and lighter smoking or anything else. Right?
Right.
The Spirit of God ministers by through the Word. Now, I didn't say the Word is correct and perfect. I'm saying when the Word goes out, who's a man, the Spirit of God tells you what to do with it. Now, if you feel like the Spirit of God has told you you need to see, then Richard, you need to see.
Amen.
And it doesn't depend on what I believe or anybody else believes. You need to believe for you. And then you need to find those that are in faith, walking in faith, to believe with you. And if they ever come against that, you boot them to side like Jesus did, saying, get behind me, Satan, and you stick with faith.
Amen.
Don't ever let anybody talk you out of that. How long? How long, Richard? Long as it takes. That's the answer.
Amen.
It's the answer to believing God for anything, as long as it takes. What if you die blind, Richard?
You'll get healed anyway.
I get healed.
And in the process, you pleased God.
Amen.
See, what's more important, your sight or pleasing God?
Pleasing
God. So the faith is what pleases God.
Yeah.
Not the sight restoration, even though we all believe you're going to get it.
Yeah.
Or you've already got it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And if I seem a little weird tonight, that's okay. Faith excites me. Excites God, by the way. If the womb of Mary can minister to the womb of Elizabeth, so can my womb to yours.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is built in me, then it's going to be built in somebody else, right?
Right.
6:18, Luke 6:18. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. Now, you may not like what I'm saying tonight, but I'm not saying it to you. I'm reading it to you.
That's right, man.
Those that were vexed with unclean spirits were healed. Healed.
Yeah.
What does that mean they were healed from?
The unclean spirit.
We would call that sickness, disease, malady, cancer, heart problems, tumors, blindness, deafness, muteness, no legs, no arms, I can't walk, I can't talk. These are unclean spirits. This is not a condemnation message. This is a let's get focused message. I'm still floating on cloud 9 from Sunday, guys. I don't care what y'all, you guys missed out if you're not floating. You didn't get it all. And we may talk about this some more next Sunday. But I can promise you this. There's only two spirits in the world. There's a clean and there's an unclean. Clean causes healing. Unclean causes disease. Clean causes freedom. Unclean causes bondage. Clean gives you boldness and power. Unclean walks in fear. That's just the way it is. Well, Stan, you've suffered. I didn't say I was perfect. I'm working just like everybody else is. I'm trying to understand and believe what God is trying to tell me. Right? I remember when we were over in that school that time that I put my shirt on one time and I heard something go in my back. And we rushed to my brother who was a chiropractor at that time. Gave me a treatment. I'm smart enough to know if I've got a pain starting right now, get on it quick, it goes away quick. Five weeks I couldn't set up. You guys remember that time? I'd go into the back and I'd lay on the floor until it was time to preach. I'd get up and the pain would go away preaching. And the minute I got over, I had to go lay down again. 5 weeks. Many times getting two treatments a day. Well, how come? Don't know how come, but I'm not going to let it steal my faith.
Amen.
Doesn't make any difference how come. I'm learning through all of it. God can take what was meant for bad and turn it to good.
Yes.
Okay. Luke, I think that says 9:42. Yeah. Like I said, if there's a ton of them in here. I'm trying to stick with things that we haven't thought about real clearly. And he was yet a coming. The devil threw him down and tear him. I'm reading from you the King James because that's the way I get the good definitions. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and delivered him again to his father. Steal, kill, and destroy. This spirit, this sickness had literally taken him from his father. His father didn't have a son anymore. He had a bundle of sick. His lineage was taken away. His lineage was taken away. This is the way an unclean spirit works. Jesus, by the good spirit, by the Holy Spirit, healed him, gave him back to his father. Manifestation of the Spirit of God working. 10:20. Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So now what are we be getting taught here? You keep, if pride, if I could lay hands on each and every one of you, and your hair would stop being gray, and your toenails would stop getting long, and you wouldn't have to use deodorant anymore, and all of that stuff, then pride can set in.
That's right.
And Jesus said, really? And this is what I'd really like to talk to you about next Sunday. Healing is nothing. Forgiveness is everything.
Amen.
That's what Jesus was saying. Healing is an outflow of forgiveness. Of being forgiven.
Right.
Of being forgiven. You can take things that are stolen and return them back to their fathers or their mothers or whatever. But don't get proud. Don't get proud about that. That's just water running downhill from your forgiveness. That's all it is.
Praise the Lord.
I got to do that. I got to preach about that next Sunday. Don't make any difference what. I got to make me a note. Sometimes I have a hard time talking to my wife because I want to laugh. Not at her. I've got joy. I mean, that forgiveness thing, that's something else. All right. I could preach that right now. You don't know it, but I could. And behold, there was a woman, Luke 13:11. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting carried off in the spirit. Luke 13:11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. 18 years. And was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up. There was a woman that looked like this, and she couldn't be like this, and it was a spirit. Well, I thought it was a curvature of the spine. I thought it was arthritis. I thought it was, what's this thing that every woman's supposed to get now when she gets older? Osteoporosis. We come up with names we can't even say instead of calling it unclean spirit. Never thought about that. Maybe that's what the medical profession really wants us to do. Not be able to speak it. We don't call it anything, so we can't curse it. Some of the names they got. She could not lift herself up. By the way, read the story and you'll find out she could lift up. An unclean spirit is always overruled by a clean spirit. Many people aren't healed because of an unclean spirit. Remember I told you last week, a familiar spirit? It becomes so familiar with you, it's part of your family. Well, my family has sugar diabetes. So, I see it described in the Bible as an unclean spirit. Amen. What family do you want to go with? You've been born again, you're washed by the blood, you're birthed by God the Father. What family?
It's God's family.
Well, I think diabetes is stronger than God. But you don't understand. I got it through the bloodline. Okay? You got it through the bloodline. What did you get through God's bloodline?
Healing.
Amen. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 5. Manifestations of spirit, good and bad. That's what we're on tonight. John 3, 5. By the way, for every manifestation of an unclean spirit, there's a greater manifestation of a clean spirit.
Amen.
Right? We need to remember which is the strongest. John 3, 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Do you know why that's in there? Huh? Why don't we stick with the real topic here, water and spirit? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You have to be born of flesh. You have to, when the water breaks, you're born. You have to be born of water. This is not baptism. This is a natural birth. And it eliminated anybody, any spirit or any demon, from being born again. If you're not born of flesh, you can't be born again.
That's right.
There are demonic spirits out there. The devil himself can come walking here and say, "I'm born again." Well, he's not limited in what he can say. He's the biggest liar on the face of the earth. He can say anything he wants to. He eventually will call himself the Messiah. Many will believe. You have to be born of the water. That means you got to have a mom and a daddy. And then you got to be born of the Spirit. Or you will not enter into the kingdom of God. You will not. Okay? So one of the manifestations of being born of the Spirit. And, of course, the next verse is, those that are born of flesh is flesh, those that are born of spirit are spirit. The manifestation is that you know good and well you're part of the kingdom of God and you are going to live with God the rest of your life. I didn't say you're going to live with God. I said you're going to live with God the rest of your life. What does that mean? That means I'm already living there. I don't know if I can handle that, Harry. I don't even know if I can handle that. I tell you, if we could just get ourselves out of... The reason most of us are locked in this flesh is because flesh is flesh. And we will not move into the spirit realm and become less flesh. I must decrease, so he must increase. And the reason there are so much flesh is because we don't decrease. We don't want to decrease. I'm me. I'm going to do it my way. You know what I'm saying.
But that also explains why Jesus had to be born.
That's right. Of water. That's right. Well, he couldn't have been anything. Couldn't even have gone to heaven. Couldn't be seated at the right hand of the Father. He was a nobody if he wasn't born of flesh. And by the way, I am nobody if I'm not born of flesh. And when I'm born of flesh, I am unforgiven. And I have every curse. I have the right to every curse on the face of the earth. But when I'm born again, all right. We don't want to preach for what's coming Sunday. We want to keep moving here. All right, we're down to John, right? I missed one. I know I did. That's all right. John 3:34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Manifestation of the Spirit is those people will speak the word of God. They won't speak the word of the doctor. They won't speak the word of the neighbor. They won't even speak the word of themselves. They'll speak the word of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Very interesting. The way I understand this is that you got wide open faucet or closed faucet, nothing in between. If God does not give spirit by measure, then that means we get all or nothing. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect or we're evil, the only two speeds we've got. It just means that the Holy Spirit doesn't come a little bit, then a little bit more, then a little bit more. We open the door wide open. It's God talking or it's not God talking. Think about that. It's God talking or it's not God talking. I don't think the Holy Spirit shares a podium with an unclean spirit.
That's right.
If you really like the unclean spirit, you got him. He's yours. You really like the Holy Spirit, you got him. He's yours. And you're bold in that. You're bold in that. One of the things that we're not supposed to do is run around begging to be saved and run around begging to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
You know, a thought occurs to me that that would be the reason why Billy Sunday died in the pulpit. Because he was preaching one thing and going behind the scenes and doing exactly the opposite. One night in the pulpit, he just dropped dead.
That's not a bad place to die, Bill.
No. But what I'm saying, if I understand the story correctly.
You could, and I don't know. I don't know much about that history. But if I could die, pick a place to die, that's, I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's faith, but it sure would be comfortable. All right. John 14:17. I don't know Billy Sunday, by the way. I don't know anything about him. I probably should, but 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and you and shall be in you. So one of the things, and this is John 14:17. One of the things that we know is a manifestation of the Spirit is truth.
Right.
So anybody that's trying to be soft and politically correct is manifesting what?
Unclean spirit.
Just think about that. Think about where that puts our politicians and and your friends that won't tell you the truth, and you, and you won't tell your friends the truth. The only clean spirit, the only Holy Spirit, is the one that manifests truth. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think truth is great, you speak it and see what happens. If you think God is welcome in church, speak the truth and see what happens. Tell somebody that's talking too much that they're talking too much and see what happens. They don't want the truth. The hardest thing to do in church is speak the truth. The place where truth should be flowing and nobody should be afraid of it is probably the place where it's most unwelcome. God is unwelcome. Period. Everything is fathered by God. The man truth is fathered by God. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of God. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now listen to what that said. I mean, it's just exactly what I just spoke to you. Jesus said, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. All right, here's the results. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, Jesus said, I will send you from the Father. So where is the Comforter from?
The Father.
The Holy Spirit is from?
Father.
The Father. Okay. Even the Spirit of truth. So his second name, or third name, Holy Spirit, Comforter, is Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father.
Right.
What comes from the Father?
Truth.
The Holy Spirit, truth. And he shall testify of me, Jesus said. Comforter, mind of God, truth of God, manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And he will testify of me, Jesus said. I mean, that's pretty complete right there. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that nowhere in there does it say that I'll get the glory?
That's right.
That I'll shine? That I'll have bragging rights? John 16:13. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. That's what, yeah. I'm sorry, I read the wrong one. Well, that's 1930. Go back to 1613. We'll get to, no, let's don't. You just heard me read 1930. What Jesus was the life of God. There's a spirit of man, there's an unclean spirit, and there's a clean spirit. The spirit of man is not the Holy Spirit. I wish charismatic Christians could understand this. The Holy Spirit is not the spirit of man. Just because you're filled with the Holy Spirit don't mean every one of your thoughts are holy. When you get tired, that's not the Holy Spirit. When you get worn out, that's not the Holy Spirit. When you get afraid, that's not the Holy Spirit. But it is your spirit. I don't like Brussels sprouts. That's my spirit. I don't care what you call it. That's my spirit. Harry eats oatmeal by the bushel baskets. I have to eat one meal a month or something like that. That's a spirit. That's our spirits. It's not evil. It's not good. It's what God made us. So it must be good. I'll leave it at that. Oh, that's your color. You ever heard? And that's true. Did you understand, especially women, that they can, some women can wear colors and some wear can't? They're different colors? It's true. How do you define that? It's the spirit of the person. I don't know. Right before here, we went and did a little building repair over here, and the guy saw a spider. I just can't spare. There's spiders. Spiders. I have to think about spiders. Now, Connie's got my rag over there trying to kill it, and he's trying to run. Now, the spirit of fear is not from God. I understand that. But also, his total disliking of spiders is part of his spirit. It don't make him evil. It just makes him look a little effeminate. What's the difference between brown eyes, blue eyes, gray eyes, hazel eyes?
Blue eyes are better looking.
Are they? I probably have hazel right now because I got a green shirt on. Jesus gave up his ghost, or the ghost. Jesus' spirit left him by his choice. You see that? Who controls your spirit? Now you see everybody hesitated because, yeah, I control my spirit. In ways it controls me, but I have the final say. I have the final say. Now we go back up to 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. A manifestation of the Spirit. He's not only the Spirit of truth, he causes you to walk in truth. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to lay a heavy one on you right now. I don't care. You need to judge yourself and how much truth you walk into. Now I'm not talking about big lies. I'm talking about little stuff. Do you ever deceive yourself? Do you ever allow yourself to be deceived? And Karen's here so I can talk about her. It's old so it won't bring anything up new. When I remember when the Spirit of God used to get me to get after her because she would mistell the time. That is not the Spirit of truth when you misread the time. I've said over and over to people that like to show up late, you are not handling the truth correctly. You're not handling the truth correctly. You're misrepresenting the Spirit of God. It will lead you in all truth. It will. Let me say it another way. It will give you edges that other people don't have. You'll look at a situation and people will say, well, you're just full of common sense. No, no, no. It's the Holy Spirit leading you into truths. You see things different. The Spirit of God causes your eyes and your ears to see and hear things differently than everybody else. One of the things that I know that the Holy Spirit does, it starts with you. It starts with you. The Holy Spirit will direct you into all truths. That means if you're not being directed in your life to leave some things and go other directions, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Because nobody, not one of us, is walking in total truth. Not yet. Not until we leave this world. So the Holy Spirit has a full-time job leading us from darkness into light, from little lies into truths, into deceiving ourselves and not being deceived, to looking into situations that other people are confused about and giving them light in that area. By the Spirit of God. You have that favor. You have that comforter. You have that Spirit of truth. By the way, the best way to hear truth is to not talk first. It's not fast. I mean, it's not slow. But when I need to speak, I need to hear God speak first.
Amen.
That makes sense?
Yes, sir.
I don't speak truth unless I first hear the truth. Nehemiah, what can I do for you, Nehemiah, the king said. Nehemiah said, wait a minute, I'm going to go pray and ask. Then I'll come back and tell you what you can do for me. Nehemiah was smart enough to know that I'm not smart enough to know. I need to get the smarts before I speak. The other thing we know is that the Holy Spirit does not speak of Himself. Did you ever hear people talk about the Holy Spirit so much that God, Jesus, the world disappeared? Well, I've been in those circles. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak of Himself. So in the reality, He doesn't want you speaking, bragging, praising Him.
Yeah.
He will show you.
Are you even asking Him?
If He's a friend that sticks close to their brother, you're going to ask Him or Jesus or God the Father. When I ask, I'm not too sure who I'm asking.
Well, you're asking Jesus through the Holy Spirit to the Father.
I'm asking in Jesus' name.
Right.
But if I'm asking the Holy Spirit, I'm wise enough here by study to know that I'm asking the Father. So why don't I just say, Father, I need to know. And I know the information's coming by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, it says sometimes that the Holy Spirit prays or groans for us.
Well, I don't know if scripturally you can prove that you're supposed to ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you. I understand. It's innocent. It's not. That's better. It doesn't make any difference. When I run out of myself. See, here's the thing, Patrick. If you'll take the scripture, what you just quoted was scripture. And you'll look at this. He says, and He will show you things to come. It shows He will guide you into all truth. So whether you realize it or not, if He's groaning or uttering through you in a prayer language, in your own private room or whatever, He's actually revealing truth to you and showing you things to come. That's His job. He's good at it. That's what He does. You don't have to ask Him to do that. That's what He's here for. Does that make sense? So when you run out of yourself, and by the way, once again, let me read it to you again. Whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. And then down here, the Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth, not speaking Himself. And whatever He hears, He'll speak, and He will show you things to come. So this prayer language that you're talking about, and that's what the Scripture says, it builds you up in truth. And, of course, showing you things to come can also be said, tell you which way to go and what to do. See, a lot of times when you're doing things, you don't always know what you're doing. You just know this is what you're supposed to be doing. Right? If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be up here. Most of the time, I don't know what I'm doing. All right, Acts 2:18. By the way, the most important thing we've heard here tonight is that He will give you truth, lead you into truth. That's the most important thing that we need. Acts 2:17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out My Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Is that the one I was supposed to read? That's the one before. And your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And here's 2:18. And on My servants and on My handmaidens I will pour out in those days of My Spirit, and they shall prophesy. The best way in the world to build your faith is to prophesy. That's right. Over situations. And you're also doing one other thing. You're predicting the future. Most Word of God predicts the future. We don't realize that, but it does. When I'm believing for healing, or when He's believing, right here, we'll take this case. He's believing for His sight. The best way is to use Scripture to speak of the future and His sight. You don't talk about your situation. You talk about your future. That's prophecy. Or that's prophesying. And you do it best with the Word of God. You can use the Word of God, but by His stripes I'm healed. It's according to my faith. My Bible says that, or my Word says, that if I can believe that this mountain will be removed, cast to the sea, if I can say to the mountain, be cast in the sea, and not doubt in my heart, and I'm not going to doubt in my heart, I will not doubt in my heart, that mountain is going in the sea, that blindness is going so far away that I can see it no more.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Darkness is sight, you know that? There's nothing there. But you start quoting words, you start prophesying the Word of God about your future. It's the best way to build your faith. The Word of God builds your faith. But you start seeing the future through the Word of God, and now that you'll prophesy. How much money you want to make? Well, you're going to have to first believe the Word of God, and then you're going to start saying to yourself, this is what I'm going to make. This is what I'm going to do with it. This is where I'm going to put it. What are you going to do with your sight, Richard? Are you just wanting to see? Because that's awful selfish. What do you want to do with your sight? That's a major one. When are you going to start doing that? Do you have your sight or not?
I have sight.
All right, then you need to start doing that. Even if it's in your own house all day long, speaking of the future. I have my sight. I know Jeremiah 29:11. I know what God wants for me. He wants me to see. I know what the devil wants. He doesn't want me to see. I know the Word of God promises. I am forgiven. Therefore, I am healed. I cannot take healing without forgiveness, and I won't get forgiveness unless I know there's healing to come with it. And I receive that in Jesus' name. I'm not going to settle for anything else. The devil, I know you want me to settle for something else, but I'm not settling for anything else. You're a liar. The truth's not in you. The Word of God says, I'm healed. Therefore, I'm healed. 10:19. Acts 10:19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek you. A man didn't run down the street saying, Three men seek you. As he was listening, the Spirit of God said, Three men seek you. That's information. There's power in information, if we use it correctly. What do you want me to do? Read the rest of it? I might as well, because that's what you're doing, right? Or do you want to read it? The Spirit said, Three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. There's two ways to take that. Let's take it the right way. He might have run from the three men if the Spirit hadn't said, I sent him. And I don't know about you. I used to get in all kinds of foot races. I was as fast as anybody. If I'm running away, you're not catching me. If I'm chasing you, I'm catching you. That was my mindset. So if I was uneasy about three men chasing me, I'd want to know that God sent them. All right? One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is information. Truth information. Truth is information. Right? God will tell me about things to come and who they are, what to do. Manifestation of the Spirit. I don't need to know 10 years in advance. What does 10 years in advance do me any good? Although I've had visions from God that I know were 20 years in advance, 30 years in advance. Some of them have never happened yet. I know they're still to come. I'm not giving up on them. I'm not giving up on them. 16:16. Acts 16:16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Y'all remember that? I want you to look at the picture already before we read any more. She had a spirit. Say it again. Fortune teller. Soothsayer is a fortune teller. That's why you should never deal with them. Ever. Can they tell you some truth? Yeah. Will they tell you all the truth? No. So you've got tainted truth, which will kill you.
That's right.
Food's great. Got just a teeny bit of poison and you're in trouble. She was a damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Possessed by the spirit of divination. Now a little further. Which brought her masters much gain. You think she had good masters? No. Nope. You kind of wonder who had the spirit, the masters or her.
Yeah.
She was definitely being used. She wasn't getting the money somebody else was. Let's see. Verse 17. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to use the way of salvation. Is that the truth? So an unclean spirit can speak the truth.
Right.
And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. When did Paul command the unclean spirit to cease and desist?
When he got irritated.
When he got annoyed. Be angry and sin not. Amen. I always tell you that's a command. Be angry. That's a command to God. Be angry. Well, why? Because it's going to cause you to do things.
Amen.
But don't sin. Anger is a spirit from God. That means God can get angry. He created us to be able to get angry. Paul was annoyed. He was angry. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged him into the marketplace to the authorities. Well, it must not have been God. He got arrested. See how we think? We're all screwed up in the way we think. A wrong spirit can act like a right spirit, sound like a right spirit. A wrong spirit can speak the word of God, but it's still to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right.
You have to be wise as are of the serpent and harmless as a dove. We've got way too many prophets, prophetesses, foretellers, prophesiers that are full of themselves, and that's what comes out. It's an unclean spirit. It's an unclean spirit. You have to be wise. And I mean, you're still going to make some mistakes one time, but I'm forgiven. You're going to accept one that's wrong as right, and you're going to tell one that's right wrong, and I'm still forgiven. We just need to work better at it.
But jokingly, I was a little disappointed, but I forgive you. He said, most of the time I don't know what I'm doing. That's not true. Why did you say that?
Because it's true. See, it's true and untrue. What I mean by is I show up here to do what I know God has told me to do. But that doesn't mean I know what I'm doing. That's all I meant. I know that I'm supposed to be here. I know that's the right thing. I know Sunday morning what I'm supposed to preach. But I don't know what I'm going to preach. No. That's why I can honestly tell you that most of the time when I preach a message, I get more out of it than you do. Because I'm learning, being led into the Spirit of truth while I'm sitting here speaking. I do not rehearse sermons. I don't get them off the internet. I don't get them out of a book. So just, and my wife used to sweat bullets, and now she knows not to. Nearly all the time, I don't prepare a Sunday morning service till Sunday morning. A message is never prepared until Sunday morning. Last Sunday, the message began at 3:30 in the morning. Woke me up. I was worried about some things that I shouldn't have been worried about. And just as clear as a bell, God said, "You're forgiven." Well, I know that. No, you don't. No, you don't. I'm here to tell you. And I want you to tell them. I got it first. I got it first. I'm a privileged character. The trouble is, I'm not getting rid of this. I'm telling you, that's going to stay for a while. Let's see, I read that one. We got that done, didn't we? Well, let me make that point, too. Let me read what this says, because that was the New King James. "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out." We have dominion if we have the Holy Spirit. We have dominion over any other spirit. And it's a shame that we have to get grieved and annoyed before we take the dominion. We need to learn to do it with a smile of power and confidence on our face. A little bit of smirk. You understand it's all right to be proud in God? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the teaching of the Bible. It's not mine. All right. Let's 18:5. Acts 18:5. "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." Why does it use the word pressed in the spirit there? He didn't want to. That's what that word is trying to make you feel, the pressure. Paul was under pressure to tell the Jews about Jesus. Why did he take the pressure? Because they didn't want to hear that. And he didn't really want to tell them that. He knew his call was to the Gentiles. Remember? We got two things here. Pressure to do things that we hadn't planned to do. Paul spent his time planning to speak to the Gentiles because that was his call. All of a sudden, God says, "I want you to do something special today." "No, no, no, it can't be you, God. You told me to go over here and do this. Now I'm telling you to do this. I told you that time I was coming from the house over there. And I'm late and I'm going. I'm coming this direction. And I passed this little church over on the right. And I heard the Spirit of God say, go in there and pray for that guy, that preacher. Can't be God. I'm late." And I went on down the road and I heard it again. "You got to go back there and pray for that guy." "Oh, no. I'm not prepared to do this and I don't want to do it. I don't even like him." And I make the corner and I go up and I make a U-turn. And they're saying, "What are you doing? I got to go back." Remember that? "I got to go back and pray for that guy." And they're going, "Oh, we're late. I remember turning into that driveway, pulling in there, going in. The church looked like it was empty. I couldn't find anybody. I thought, see, Stan, it's you. And I go, hey. And I heard an answer in the back. And I go around there, and there he's sitting at his desk. And he's kind of like, because it's way early for his service. Kind of like, what are you doing here? He didn't say that, but you can see it on his face. I said, God told me to come in here and pray for you. And that's what I want to do. I don't want any response out of you. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm not requiring anything. God told me to come in and pray for you. And I prayed a prayer that probably caused him great discomfort because I asked for the Holy Spirit to move in his service, and I don't think he believed in that. And that something fantastic would happen that day, and it would change his life. And I never went back and asked. I'm operating by faith. Amen. Yeah, it was a Lutheran or a Methodist church. I'm going by faith. It wouldn't make any difference what I saw. I was told to do that. I do it. Right? By the way, that's a good example of the Spirit pressing. If you never had God press you into something, you probably don't know God. Because He's good at that. He's not only good at it, He's faithful to do it. Say it again? Oh, yeah, on you. Yeah, with the guy. Yeah, you bet. All right, Acts chapter 19, verse, let's start with 12. And I think we'll make this the last one, hopefully. Let's start with 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Let's keep going. Also, there were seven sons, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Now, here's the things that Christians don't like. There's two ways to look at this, and I want you to look at both ways. One is that if you don't really know the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get anywhere with your prayers and your laying on of hands and that kind of stuff. Because what the Spirit is going to say in the Spirit, I know this guy and I know Jesus, but I don't know you. I don't know who you are. And the problem is when unclean spirits don't recognize you, they are saying, "We don't know who you are." Because if they know who you are, they flee. Now, the other part of this is that these were exorcists. They were practicing another form of divination. Good word. And so they decided, since the name of Jesus was working, they'd do it too. So now we have false clean spirits. False clean spirits. What do you mean by that? People dressed right, got the right name, saying the right words, but they're still unclean. And so the unclean spirit says, see, here's the thing you need to remember. They recognized the name of Jesus, but they didn't recognize the person using the name. Richard, we talked about this before church. I even made a very sarcastic remark. Got too much Jesus in there. And now I'm telling you what that means. That means the name don't mean anything if it's not incorporated with the Spirit or in partnerships with the Spirit. Will an unclean spirit recognize the name of Jesus? Yes. Does the name of Jesus make demons flee? No. Teaching that we always hear. The Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, which is the Spirit of God, makes things move and flee. They have the right to say to someone that's living and moving in the sheep's wool and the sheep clothing, is what I'm trying to say. They have the right to say, "I don't know who you are." And if you'll remember, for those of you that I've talked to about this, when I was in South Texas, I was good at teaching how to entrap the law, how to deal with the IRS, how to drive with no driver's license and no insurance and beat every time, win every time, never get defeated. Why? Because I knew the lawmaker. I knew the law. I knew that. Guaranteed to work if you do what I told you to do. And I remember the day when God visited me via the Holy Spirit and said, "I don't want you doing that anymore." And I'm angry. I'm pressed and angry. Why? This is good information. The world needs to know this. The people of this country need to know this. They need to be set free from this. He said, "I've led you through this so that you will know false authority. Now, don't deal with that anymore. You teach my people false authority." and true authority. And so I quit. But what powers me and motivates me is I know if you can say to a false authority, I don't know who you are, then the false authority can say to me, I don't know who you are. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
An unclean spirit has the right to question my credentials unless I'm full of the Holy Spirit. But he can't talk back to me if my credential falls above my name. It comes before my name. Doesn't make any difference who I am. I come in the name of Jesus. The false priest here said, in Jesus' name. You're not in Jesus' name. You're not in the Spirit of God. You can't represent Jesus. You can't even use the name with authority. We got the church needs to hear this kind of stuff. You come in the Spirit of God, or with the Spirit of God, or by the Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. It has to be in that order. Or the unclean spirit's going to say, I don't know who you are. You can do your little charismatic jig. You can say the little Pentecostal sayings. You can do anything you want to. But if you haven't got it to the fact that the Spirit of God wooed you, the Spirit of God teaches you, the Spirit of God tells you when to use the name of Jesus, then you'll know that you walk in power and authority, because nothing that comes against you can resist you. Does this make sense? Manifestation of the Spirit of God is no fear, because I know who I am. The Bible says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, death doesn't even make me afraid, because I know who I am. I know who Jesus is. I know who the Spirit of God is. And the spirit of death has no control over me. You can threaten, you can yell, you can scream, but you can't have me. Jesus said, I gave up the ghost. Don't you know I could have called legions of angels? But by the Spirit of God, I'm giving up my ghost. Does that make sense to you? Didn't confuse anybody? Then let me read the last part of this. After they said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? By the way, knowing Jesus won't get you to heaven. Knowing Jesus is not getting you to heaven. Because this unclean spirit, he said, Jesus I know. The devil knows Jesus. Doesn't do him a bit of good. Paul I know, doesn't do him a bit of good. But who are you? Verse 16, then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. My dad would say, that unclean spirit cleaned their plow. Verse 17, this became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, not feared, magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and they totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Magic was pretty important back then, wasn't it? So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Let me tell you what I would suggest to most people. That they get all of their fiction, their Christian fiction, which is an oxymoron. Truth cannot be fiction. Fiction cannot be truth. You'll never get ministered to righteously with fiction. Get them and burn them, and here's to be the result. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. In other words, get the fiction out of the way and get to the word of the Lord. I don't care what somebody says about what God said. I want to know what God said. I don't want to see a movie or read a book that was made up based on some kind of fiction or fictitious story based on the word of God. Let's just go to the word of God. I don't even want to see a cartoon that's Christian. I want to see the word of God. I haven't got the time to see somebody else's opinion about the Word of God. You ever heard the phrase, evangelistically speaking? Mm-hmm. You know what that means? The preacher just lied to you for good. That means he made up a story to touch your heart. You don't want that kind of touch. You don't need that kind of touch. There's too many real things out there. You don't need unreal. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Now that's my spirit. If God tells you something else, that's fine, but hopefully it's not against the Word. I've known too many people that are way out in left field that spend all their time going to the Bible bookstore and buying Christian fiction. Now we've got a movie out that's supposedly fiction, Christian fiction. You know that? Because they can push the limit. They've thrown everything else in there. By the way, Harry, If your Jesus was married and had children, what difference would it make? You know what difference it would make? It's not in the Word. It probably would make no difference spiritually if that's what was in the Word. But I'm offended because it's not in the Word.
Amen.
Now, I wasn't double-minded in that. I'm just saying if you'll actually sit down for a moment and think, what difference would it have made if Jesus was married and had children? It wouldn't affect him righteously at all. Holy, it wouldn't affect him. It was the way of man.
If it's in the Word.
If it's in the Word. But it wasn't in the Word, so you're a liar and the truth's not in you.
Right.
And what was your purpose? What was your purpose of putting this in the movie? I wanted you to question your God. I heard some wise person the other day said, well, I'm for anything that makes them talk about Jesus. Oh, really? I don't remember where I was today, but I heard, I was in Home Depot. And I heard this punk kid, Jesus? Oh, I'm excited. He's talking about Jesus. No, he's not. He's cursing.
That's right.
He's using the name of the Lord in vain. That's cursing. Was it? Yeah, Robert Shuler's son. I'm excited. Anything makes him talk about Jesus. Well, Robert Shuler's son is Robert Shuler's son. Sometimes I question if he's the son of God. But I know he's the son of Robert Shuler. No, it really doesn't. An accident could happen anywhere. I'm not against Robert Shuler. I'm against something that's against the Word. In the Old Testament, I'm telling you, you talk about honor. In the Old Testament, they wouldn't even say the name of God. God's name was so holy, it didn't come off your tongue. They revered God. I wish we had a tenth of that today. Just a tenth of it. We need a little more respect. And the only way I know how to get respect is stick with the Word. Stick with the Word. Well, we need to quit. And I still haven't gone through my first set of notes, and I'm not finished with those notes. I don't know if I can or not. I'm losing my voice. I understand what you're saying now. I'm excited about Sunday. You need to get somebody to come because I'm going to tell you something. We're going to go further back than we did Sunday. We're going to catch a hold of some more truth, and the truth will
set you free.
That's why truth is important, because God wants you free. And like I said, as a personal testimony, I am so much more at peace. I have used that sword mightily this week, talking about I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm delivered. I mean, I can't have one without the other, so no, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. And that is more important than anything else that we've talked about, because I'm not getting filled with the Spirit unless I'm forgiven. Praise the Lord. All right, well, let's pray. Gene, I thank you for the encouragement that you tried to give me. I didn't take that as an offense at all. I would like to tell you that I knew what I was doing because that'd make me feel better. But then I would take some credit. Now, I can believe that. I hear when you play in the Spirit and when you don't. Seriously, I do. You start doing unusual things. You have a tremendous talent on piano, but it never shows up unless you're moved by the Spirit. I mean, some of the chords you do, some of the things you do, that's just amazing to me. And I know that. I hear him. I mean, you did it tonight I Exalt Him. So much so that I nearly want to tell you to quit it because it wasn't going with what I was doing. But I won't. I won't do that. What you were doing is a lot better. I want all of us to become so free in our forgiveness. And we're so filled with the Holy Spirit that most of the time we don't know what we're doing. And that will give us the ability to give God more credit. The reason we can't praise God righteously or worthily is because we don't give Him enough freedom. If I give Him some more freedom, then it's easy to give Him more praise because it's going to come out of testimony. I got a little note on my desk that says, we would be absolutely amazed about what God could do with and through us if we just let loose. Just let loose. Well, that's where we're headed.
Amen.
That's right. Less of me, more of you. Father, you hear the desire of our hearts. That is a cry. I can hear it in the Spirit. I know you can. Would you answer with pressing us to be free, filling us and pressing us by your Spirit so that you can receive more and more and more glory than we've ever given you in our life because we have more testimonies than we've ever had before. Let this place begin to glow where people walk in just to see what the light's from. Because we're so filled with truth and boldness.
Yeah, yeah.
Let miracles begin to happen. Not because we want them to, because you want them to. You need more glory.
Yeah.
We know that you hear this prayer. because it's from your heart. We thank you for your Spirit leading us in that direction. We say that it's done, it's finished, because we quote what Jesus said, and we do it in His name. Amen.